Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths. But a champion becomes a legend. McCarty Deaver has won it.
Hello and welcome to .com and the Den Mondays for another week. I'm Roger Aldridge and joining me, of course, is my stable mate here on the show from Wolf Den, Richard Irvin. And Rich, if this episode goes as well as the pre-match, then we're in for a good one. I do feel as if our warm-up should be some kind of pay-per-view though.
It'd be racing's best content. We're well warmed up and I'm ready to go, and we need to be because racing was outstanding. We need to do it justice. Let's get into it.
Let's go. Here's our straight six.
The straight six.
All right, let's start with the All-Star Mile. Mr. Brightside, of course, beaten again at Group 1 level. He's got 9 Group 1 wins and about 8 Group 1 placings. Tom Kitten was the horse that got him this time. I felt like he probably wasn't going to get there. Given that turn of foot, you knew the horses behind him had, and the Hayes boys said he was essentially a sitting duck. That second up record of Tom Kitten was the pot, but he looks to have come back a different horse. And many thought he was a milk drinker, but he's proved otherwise.
Tom ain't a cat. I really enjoyed putting together that headline. So, interesting race. Another Will, very unlucky. A lot of people think he should have won. And I thought the most interesting thing was that I believe the race, the reason that Another Will didn't win was because Ben Mellum locked Jamie Mellum away. Just at the moment when she
thought, where you going here?
The moment when she thought that she could possibly come out, that was Ben Mellum with the ride, you know, the ride of the race on Tom Kitten, and just locked her away that she had nowhere to go. She went up right into the back of Mr. Brightside. It was nearly a disaster, but luckily,
That head-on vision is
yeah. Rough. Here it is. We can see it again here now. She, you know, really knuckles over. She got in trouble with the stewards for just pushing that little bit too hard. But fantastic win by Tom Kitten. He's announced himself as a real weight for age performer. Mr. Brightside, gallant as ever. So what's next for Tom Kitten? Australia Cup probably. James Cumming mentioned the George Ryder. I don't really think that makes sense. George Ryder looks a very hot race. I think he's perfectly suited going up to 2,000 metres at Flemington in a few weeks' time in the Australian Cup. The Australian Cup's looking pretty hot as well. We'll have a look at that market a bit later.
Mr. Brightside, just quickly, I know you, so that you're thinking it's George Ryder, then Hong Kong. We had Will Hayes on Moody on the mic last week, and he sort of indicated when Tom Hackett actually asked him, he'll obviously go up to Sydney. Will said, well, he's had his vaccinations. He's ready to go to Hong Kong. It sounded like they were likely going to go All-Star Mile and then to Hong Kong and not go to Sydney. So It'll be interesting to see whether that plan changes off the back of what happened in the All-Star Mile. But he had his vaccinations over his spell, so he's all ready to roll.
He jarred up a bit. I saw a headline on racing.com this morning say he's jarred up a bit and Hong Kong is still the plan. I reckon that probably sounds, if he had a bit of a hard run the whole time, they might just put him in cotton wool for, you know, give him a little freshen up and then get him over to Hong Kong. The George Ryder, as I said before, looks like a pretty hot race. Obviously, he'd be close to favourite in it. And then just quickly, Roger, before we move on, All-Star Mile discussion. So it was a bit of discussion before the race and even after it. Do they do anything? Do they change it? I personally don't really think you can do anything with it. I like it. I mean, I think it's a great weight for age event. You could argue that, you know, the best horses in Australia were in it on the day in terms of, you know, the other horses up in Sydney. And, you know, some people talk about moving to the spring. I don't really see where you would fit it in.
It's a dot ball, mate. It's honestly, I've never been into the All-Star Mile. I don't think it was brought in as a way for Racing Victoria to try and emulate the success of the Everest. We don't have to copy everything New South Wales does. We do a lot of things better in Victoria than what Racing New South Wales does. I hate the fact that they have all these stupid races for millions of dollars up in New South Wales. I don't think we need to try and copy them. There's enough Group 1s on the program. There's too many Group 1s on the program, and I don't think the All-Star Miles had the cut through or the traction that they intended, and it's probably too late to scrap it completely. But, yeah, I've never been a fan of it. It certainly hasn't won me over. And a 7-horse field, although it was a reasonable 7 horses, it was probably a 4 and a 3 split in that way. I don't know what they do with it. We say it every year. I feel like I've said this four or five years in a row. I've got to do something. Do I know what it is? No, but I'm not getting paid to know what it is.
Yeah, I think you probably just leave it there. I heard Nick Noonan saying maybe lean into the character of the horse a bit more. I think you could make some good content around it. Is that going to suddenly turn into a bonanza? Not really, but it's a sort of pretty cheap, cost-effective way to give it a bit of a help. But I don't think it's particularly broken. Anyway, let's move on.
It was all built around, you know, trying to engage non-racing people and bring the punters back in with the owner ambassador side of it. That hasn't really worked. There was a good discussion on RSN this morning. It's like, I didn't even know how you entered that. And then someone brought up the fact, well, maybe, hang on, you have to be on track, and the ambassador's drawn out on the day as a chance to win that 100,000 with your horses. So you got to be on track. Well, that's a way to get people through the gates. I like that idea. There's got to, obviously, that's not going to solve the issue of the actual race itself, but it certainly might help the engagement of the average fan and bringing people back to the races. It was a hot day here on Saturday. It was a nice day. Would have been a nice day out there at Flemington. We do need to move on. We can't get bogged down. We don't want to go as far as Middle Earth, but Middle Earth's arrival down under was very successful in the Australia Cup prelude. It was a big plunge, and the stablemates, he and Duke de Sessa, went to the line. I thought there was a lot to like about both of them. Duke de Sessa was supposedly no good on firm ground. Well, he won last start and probably argue okay, should have won here, but he gets the right run.
As soon as he got going, bit of, bang.
A bit of rain next start, and I want to be with him.
So the big plunge on Middle Earth, I can say that I was a part of that, in the sense that we backed it at $6 on Thursday. Fizzer, one of the blokes in the den, said, hey, rip into Middle Earth at $6, which we did, and it just kept firming, and then it won on the day for our Ladbrokes Mates Mode pot. We need it. We're in a bit of froth and bubble, and that got us, really set the day up for us.
How did the pot end up?
Another win, small win, you know.
Win's a win.
Our record's 6 from 9 now. We've done 9 of them, won 6, which is pretty good. We always it's a grind. Like, we just, you know, we win small each time.
But if you have a day on the punt and finish even, you're happy. If you finish $12 50 up, it's a win. A win's a win.
We're never going to turn people into millionaires.
That's a 20% profit on.
All I want to do is get in and get out, winning something small. Maybe it's not the most exciting way to do it.
Just a quick in and out. On Middle Earth, though, do you think – I see he's favourite for the Australia Cup. Trumman, if you want to just bring the market up now, we might as well use it as part of the discussion.
Yes.
We always see this reactive. The market's so reactive after the weekend. Yeah. I mean, it was a very handy first up run, but I don't know whether I really want to be – I think this Australia Cup's shaping up really nicely.
Yeah, it's going to be a great race. I think with Middle Earth, it's all about spring. He looks like a beautiful cup horse, or maybe some of those middle distance weight for age races as well. So I think they'll go along pretty lightly with him. Australian Cup for sure. $4.40. You want to leave me out of that for now. But Tom Kitten in there, Duke de Sessa. But you think Duke de Sessa might go to the Tancred up in Sydney on the same day, which is over 2,400 metres.
Yeah, that's the talk. I certainly think if there's a bit of rain. So it's been really hot and dry in Melbourne in the last few weeks, this week especially. It's got to turn eventually. And with the Australia Cup being pushed back 3 weeks, you'd sort of think maybe the rain has come by the end of March, and that's going to bring in, it's going to set up really nicely for a fair few of these, Duke de Sessa being one of them. Attrition doesn't want a wet track. If the tracks remain as dry as they are at the moment, I really like Attrition going into the Australia Cup.
Which isn't listed on the screen at the moment. But that's
a tissue is obviously 2,000 metres, Flemington. Don't know what to take out of her
especially
run.
Deeper into her prep as well. That's what
but
she
I think
really
she's going to, yeah, I think she's going to be far better next run. I didn't think she was neither here nor there really out of the All-Star Mile on Saturday, but it's a fascinating race. I think it's probably one of the, it was a good Australia Cup last year, to be fair. I think it's looking like a really nice race.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Let's move on. Jolly Star. Was it a vintage edition of the new market? No. There were plenty of punters who identified Jolly Star as a class in the race, though. And she did find near her best. It was just reward, I think, for a mare that we probably thought after a win in the Arrowfield last autumn and then that first up win in the Group 3 in the spring at the Show Country or Show County, I think it was, that she was ascending to that absolute elite level. I think she was favourite for the Everest. But maybe this is the launching pad as she's a bigger, stronger four-year-old, or maybe this is more her grade. This certainly wasn't a top class. You know, this was a handicap. It's not a weight for age sprint field.
Yeah, she could be the best sprinter in the country. I guess we'll find out in the TJ Smith Stakes. You've got to remember she was favourite for the Everest, which is, if you're favourite for the Everest, you're probably the best sprinter in the country. Great win by her.
If you win the Everest, you're probably the best sprinter in the country.
Yep. If the bookies got absolutely pumped by it, I'm interested to hear how Tommy Hacken and Ladbrokes went on. I'd say it'd probably be a bit of a disaster. It's pretty rare you see just sustained backing of her, you know, like $4.80 into $4.20 into $3.90 into $3.60, just kept firming. So she's going to be favoured in the TJ Smith. We're going to look at that market in a second. There's big talk about Royal Ascot. Obviously, should do a very well over there. A couple of interesting things. So Damien Lane, Frosty Lane, was a great ride by him. He'll stay on board in the TJ Smith because J-Mac will be over with Romantic Warrior in Dubai. And it'll be interesting to see who ends up on Jolly Star over in Royal Ascot. You'd bet it would probably be a J-Mac.
Probably. Frosty goes to Japan for a couple of months after the Sydney Autumn as well. So I don't know whether it's going to be out of sight, out of mind. You wouldn't think so. But you're not losing much either way, to be fair. Damien Lane's a hell of a jockey.
I reckon there's not much between J-Mac, D-Lane and Blake Shin. You know, I think they're all
Zach Lloyd
they're all pretty
fast,
good.
Too.
Sorry?
Zach Lloyd closing in pretty quickly as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Jamie Mallum's pretty handy too, as is Ben. It's good jockeys in the country at the moment.
Ben Mallum always goes so well in the blue colours, doesn't he?
Various colours. I mean, yeah. Just on the Newmarket, Stretton Angel, as usual, I ran a place. She seems destined to be the bridesmaid. Bloody honest horse, though. She's a Group 2 winner, 3 Group 1 placings, and also a 4th at the top level. So, you know, she ran 3rd on Saturday. But, yeah, look, it was clearly Jolly Star was the class of the race. And, yeah, I think we'll find out more about her next start. So, yeah, let's move on. Even more. And I didn't realise until it was mentioned on the broadcast, but Gay and Adrian hadn't had a Group 1 win this season until Royal Patronage took out the Canterbury Stakes in a boil over. Tough race. There seemed to be some good value runners, but not sure how many people identified Royal Patronage as one of them.
No. He was pretty rough. There's Here to Shock just battling on. Gosh, he's a great horse. And
hasn't he come on?
Probably moves towards getting close to the end of his career, you know.
So here to Shock's a 7-year-old. Here to Shock's a 7-year-old.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, well, fair enough. He's brilliant horse. The winner, fantastic. We'll go on to the Doncaster. There's Costa, he's a friend of mine and on the den as well, so it was a big result for him. So Royal Patronage goes on to the Doncaster. I think before that they might run it in the George Ryder. Switzerland. So let's talk about Switzerland. Bit flat, and where do they go with Switzerland? Because they could, you know, I don't know, do they retire him? Do they go on? I put a poll up on the den. 75% of people who answered the poll said that they should retire him. He's only damaging his legacy by hanging around.
But is he though? Because, I mean, what is his legacy? He won a Coolmore.
Yeah, that's right. So he's.
But I mean, can you breed off that now already? I mean, definitely. Yeah, people are going to going to breed him. It's cool more own him, but I don't know whether it's. I still like. Okay, he's won one Group One. Is that his only Group One? The Coolmore.
That's his only Group One.
And that Coolmore is not looking too hot at the moment.
No, it's not. But he rated incredibly well. But
there's so many stallions out there. Like, if you win a. What looks now already, regardless, is probably because of his form, Growing Empire, blah, blah, blah. It looks like a fairly middling 3-year-old crop.
Him is do they want to get him to Royal Ascot and try and win over there, which, you know, the way he's going at the moment looks a long way off. But if it's important.
But our sprinters always do better over there.
They do. And I guess the thing is if they can get him to win a Royal Ascot, then he's marketable to that European audience.
Which is important to Coolmore.
So one thing I thought they could possibly do is drop him back to the Arrowfield Sprint. Which is sort of later at Randwick. I think it's on day 2 of the championships. I think it's a Group 2 race, but it's always high quality. Maybe try and, you know, get him to win that and then set him for Ascot. I don't know, like, would you want to back him in a TJ Smith?
No.
No.
Not off that.
Yeah. So it just looks like he's a bit fan out of that rising class. Sunshine in Paris was a solid run. Nick Noonan on RSN yesterday morning. Big push by him for her in the TJ Smith. And I think we're ready to bring up the William Reid followed by TJ Smith markets, Rog.
Yeah, look, Jimmy Starr, a favourite, $4.80 off the back of that Group 1 win last start, bypassed the All-Star Mile. Benedetto was a little bit unlucky on the weekend, $7 along with Jolly Star, who we've mentioned. Private Harry also in that at $7.
Private Harry's the one everyone wants to talk about. Trialed brilliantly. Everyone thinks that he's just going like a gun and... Everyone says that if anyone can worry Ka Ying Rising in the Everest, it's Private Harry.
Okay, well.
But I don't think he'll be in the William Reid. I think he's first up into the TJ, I think. I haven't heard anything about him being in the William Reid.
Growing Empire's done well at the Valley before. Sunshine in Paris, as you mentioned, and Nick Noonan loves her, and she's $11. Just in case any viewers are wondering, yes, there is a lot of love for the Noonan brothers on this show. We do both think that they are excellent judges, so that is why you'll hear them constantly referenced. We should have. Maybe we get
just run off then. They just give us the short balls, mate.
Yeah, exactly. We just take that half volley outside off stump that they put there for us. Hey, let's flick it over now to the TJ and Jolly Star favorite here. And then you've got Private Harry, $7, Sunshine in Paris at $8. Giga Kick, how's he going to come back? Jimmy Starr, Growing Empire, Traffic War. It should be a really good race. I don't think I Wish I Win's going to go there because, obviously has won the race before, but not going to.
George Ryder over 1,500.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think. Yeah. Although, Moose has done it. Drop back and trip with a couple of horses over the journey. Exactly. But it's going to be a hot race, as it always is. I love the TJ Smith. I was there the day Chautauqua won it in that famous sprint to the line coming from absolutely nowhere. But yeah, it's an interesting market. Not one I'm going to play in, Rich, because as you know, Dodger doesn't bet in futures.
Dodger doesn't
actually talk about himself with the third person very often either.
Pulled himself up on that. I heard your mate Mytho, he started calling himself, talking about himself in the third person. He says, Mytho, actually, can I?
Mytho talking about like himself? Talking about never. I tell you one horse that gets me very, very excited, and that is Treasure the Moment. Let's have a look at her winning in the CUNY because she's the best horse Matt Laurie has had. He said that.
It's
not exactly a huge scoop. It's just the way she races. He's had a few good ones. She's got the potential to be great. She was terrific first up. She was always going to be better suited at this trip. She didn't disappoint. Bring on the Sydney Autumn where we... Look, potentially we pit this girl against the likes of Lady Shenandoah. I don't think they will meet this preparation, but she's off to the Vinery. And based on the way she does, she just seems to do things so easy. And we were talking before, Rich, off mic. It's the way Treasure the Moment just seems like a professional, like just goes out there, sits where she needs to sit, and just gets the job done. Lady Shenandoah is a bit more explosive and a real fighter. I would love to see him battle it out. But like I said, I think it'll be as four-year-old mares, not three-year-old fillies.
Yeah, she builds into the race so nicely, doesn't she, Treasure the Moment? I've got some breaking news on who Matt Laurie's best horse he's ever had is, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's bring the market up for the Vinery because that'll give us a bit of perspective about it also. There it is. It's on the 29th of March, a week after Slipper Day, a week after William Reid Day. That's actually Australia Cup Day. Treasure the Moment, dominant in the market there. So you've got Aliana second pick, which Aliana was solid in the Ram again.
Yeah,
have a look at that.
But Lady Shandua's not going to go there.
I reckon Lady Shenandoah, what they'll do is they'll cuddle her. She'll run in the Farlap. I just heard before we came in, there's a bit of doubt about her lining up in the Coolmore this week. I reckon they run her in the Farlap, which is a 1,900-meter race, three-year-olds only. Then they put her out and they bring her back for a big spring campaign, probably looking at the Cox Plate where Treasure of the Moment you'd think would have to be a going in that as well. So, yeah, look, she's exciting. She's probably going to go into the Oaks as well after this. Maybe the Derby as well. Would they run her in the Derby?
Nah, she's definitely just going. It's going Vinery Oaks, and then I think they'll just see. But they're definitely – I know there's one eye on the Cox Plate. So, it's – yeah, and bring that on. Hey, Randwick Guineas were also on the weekend. Broadsiding went in as a really dominant favourite. Linebacker this was a really I was on Linebacker a run early and got off him too quickly. There was a really nice speed on in the Randwick Guineas, and I think every horse had their chance. And Linebacker was just too good, and I Wish I'd stuck with him, but it's easy to say after the race.
Yeah, no, Linebacker won fair and square. He had a big kick at the 200. Broadsiding came up and said, "How you going, son? Let's go to war again." It was reminiscent of exactly a year ago in the Champagne Stakes, a very wet day that day. I was out there right on trackside, and Broadsiding came up and said hello and went straight past him. On that day, it was Manal was actually favourite. Linebacker was second favourite. I think Broadsiding was about $6 or $7. A year later, Linebacker's, I think, what was it, $8 or $9? Pretty rough.
Yeah.
Broadsiding dominant favourite. And he just won fair and square. And it's, yeah, huge result for Tom Charlton, John O'Shea, in particular Tom Charlton, his first Group 1 win. They gelded him. They thought that they had a potential stallion, but they decided to geld him. What do you say? Lose a stallion, gain a racehorse?
Exactly. And just
and they're going to have so much like this bloke.
He was very interested in the stallion life, I think, and they had
no one was more interested. No one was more interested.
He was out there on. I'm surprised he didn't win more races. Actually, he was racing with five legs.
But so they got a great horse. You know, he can race on. You look at Tom Kitten and Here to Shock and Mr. Brightside. Look how well they are and look how well they're doing. That's 4 years away for this bloke. Where's he going to go next? He's going to go to the Doncaster Handicap and he's going to have 49 kilos. There is $9, fair enough. Now, the Doncaster's coming together beautifully as well, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And another wheel I quite like at $10 here. Broadsiding would be interesting. I don't know. Is Broadsiding not the horse we
thought? No, I think he's a weight for age star. I think he can end up like Animo and those great, Godolphin horses.
They have got a similar sort of the way they've sort of tracked through this early part of their career is
yeah, like he's only just getting beat. Like, you know, what is, you know, he was odds on favourite in the Caulfield Guineas, didn't have much luck and just didn't, it wasn't the right day for him. Same again happened on Saturday, but he's, yeah, I see him, you know, I can see him winning a Cox Plate this year. I think he will be a wait for H star broadsiding. Yeah.
Hmm. Speaking of the 3 year olds, Damask Rose, this is across in the Kiwi. This is a slot race, a rich slot race.
Three and a half million
New Zealand dollars. That's about $8.50 Australian.
That's right.
At Ellerslie on Saturday. Now, this was taken out by Damask Rose ahead of Evaporate. The caller said Blake Shin's ride on Damask Rose. You see, coming up the rail here in the Tiaka colours, said, "Oh, the best, greatest ride you've ever seen." It was a good ride.
That was a terrible New Zealand accent, mate. Come on. If you're going to bag someone else, at least get your accent right. Look how pumped he is here, Shinny. He loved it. Look at that.
It sounds South African. But getting back to my point, that's not even the best Blake Shin ride I've seen. It's not even the best ride I've ever seen. Not the best Blake Shin ride I've ever seen. Not even the best Blake Shin ride I've seen in the last 6 months. What about Antino in the Toorak?
I mean, yeah, well, Damask Rose was so far out the back.
Exactly.
Shinny just lit him up and just went for it.
He saw the gap about to open, came back when he was about to follow a few off the fence and thought, it was smart. It was well played. Take nothing away from that. It took some serious balls given there was a tight squeeze in that last few hundred. But, yeah, greatest ride. Leave me out of that. Evaporate was good in the Entain slot.
Yeah, yeah.
Still not a win in the slot race for Entain. They'll be disappointed.
Public attention not too bad. It's sort of whacked away for Coolmore.
Yeah.
Didn't give up, which, you know, he got well out in the market. I think he was $10 or $11 before they started when I saw. But, yeah, great win for Damask Rose. Obviously, I'd imagine at some stage she'll come over and race in Australia and some type of race and should be pretty competitive whenever they bring it across. Should we talk two-year-olds, mate?
We should talk two-year-olds because you've been potting Wogerton for the last month. But let's
not potting, just saying that it's a ridiculous price.
Well, we'll get to the Golden Supermarket
okay,
because it's not as a ridiculous price, but as we'll see, still around the top. Let's have a look at the size project.
And this is, I'm excited to talk about this race here.
Take it away.
All right, so we've got Vinrock for Matt Laurie out in front, and I'm Invincible Colt.
This is what you're getting at with the best horseman. Okay.
Yeah, so Matt Laurie was asked by Sean Cosgrove on RSN yesterday morning, who's better at the same stage, Vinrock or Treasure of the Moment? And he interestingly said he thinks Vinrock is.
That's
what he said. That's what at the same stage. Matt. So after how many starts has Vinrock had? Maybe two starts or something like that. But Vinrock, you'd have to consider the slipper. Size Prodigy is over 1,400, so it'd be a bit weird coming back to the 1,200. Doesn't sound like the slipper interest, Matt Laurie. It sounds like the size and champagne next for it. And look, being by I'm Invincible out of a reduced choice mare, if it was to win the Size Prodigy and the champagne, very valuable colt prospect. And then, you know, we'd be set for all kinds of big races as a three-year-old. Exciting to see that.
I reckon every year we get to about February and we say the Sydney two-year-olds are far more advanced than
every year.
But this year, this Melbourne, and a lot of the time it's right, but we thought the same this year. This Melbourne crop of two-year-olds, I just think the gloss just continually going off and off the Sydney two-year-olds with every race, you know. First Shaggy.
There's no gloss.
Exactly.
Well, they just got belted. They got bashed by the Melbourne two-year-olds.
And now, exactly, the Melbourne two-year-olds, that Blue Diamond form is looking outrageously good now with Temptress victory on the weekend.
This is the first one we look at is Tempted. So here's J-Mac on Tempted. Comes in very strongly. So this is the Riesling for the girls first up.
Yeah.
Solid win.
Yeah, really good win. There's a lot to take from that because you're sort of getting closer and closer to the slipper. You want to look at a horse that's building nicely into that race. But I just the race I really want to look at for a variety of reasons is the next one, which is Tentress's win here.
Here we go. So there's Tentress's white outright in the blue colours. You've got Aleppo Pine up on the fence there. Just keep watching him because I want to talk about him. There's Wotan going to the lead. Tycoon Star, consistent as always, and then Tentress just over the top. I think he's he should be Golden Slipper favourite, but he's not.
Well, I initially thought the Tycoon Star peaked on his run around that 150, but the stewards noted that approaching the 150, shifted out under pressure, and the rider had stopped riding and straightened. And I just think, I know the Hayes team were very keen on him going into this race, and I certainly wouldn't be jumping off going into the Golden Slipper in a market with Wotan at the top, which means there should be some value around it. Although we don't, it's not one you want to play. And we know for a fact, you said it last week, the reason that Woderton's at the top is because of the liability on this horse, because everyone jumped on so early.
Yeah.
But what was it last week? It was $3.
$3.50. He's get, like, he'll be $8 or $9 on the day. There's
gonna Devil be Knight looks at Devil Knight looks a stupid price because I think they're going to the slipper.
Yeah.
And the Blue Diamond winner. Well, how, like we say, how good is that Blue Diamond form looking now? Well, what about the winner? We haven't seen it since.
Yes. So Johnny Chamon, who's one of the best judges in the den, he was in the den on Saturday. He was very big, strong push for Belle, Zane, and North England, both Waterhouse horses. And that, you know, it'd be so, that's what happens with, you know, the Waterhouse spot team. They're quiet, quiet, quiet. Then they'll just come from nowhere and win the slipper. So I think you could probably think about backing either Belle, Zane, or North England. You and I both like Tycoon Star. $17, like, you know, the Hayes boys are saying they just quietly go about their work, then they come out and go bang three, and race like the slipper.
3 seconds in group ones over the weekends for Lindsay Park team. Hey, yeah. Nash Road Tentra's half a kilo over as well. So
right, you know, yeah,
something else.
So yeah. Look, it's yeah, Devil Knight as well. Like, why can't you back it? And the only other player, I absolutely think Woden can win the slipper. I think that it can be a little bit of a forgotten about horse. You presume J Max still rides him. He just needs to get a little bit of luck. I think he does have a bit of a turn of foot and a bit of a sprint on him. And if you can just get some luck in running on slipper day, it wouldn't surprise me if he just
if he gets there, suddenly, do you get $6 on the day, do you reckon? Or do you reckon you get more than $6?
Mate, you're definitely going to get $8 or $9. Like, yeah, he's getting out for sure. For sure. There's no, like, it, yeah.
And that's why they're protecting their liability now. They're keeping him unders in the in that all.
Yeah, but natural forces will come into play, like Betfair will kick in and it'll get out for sure. Like, you might even get $10 on the day. And he should, that's about his right price. Like, he can win the slipper for sure.
But based on his run so far, outside of that sort of debut, he should be double figure odds.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's what I've been saying all along.
You were early on this.
Thank you.
Premature adulation.
The Aleppo Pine was an interesting one. So a lot of other people, a lot of other commentators have said this as well. To me, he profiles a little bit about a sort of late developing Godolphin 2-year old, a bit like Broadsiding. So Broadsiding won the Ballyhoo last year, and I could see Aleppo Pine going to maybe the kindergarten, which is at that level below the slipper, or the Ballyhoo, and ended up being a pretty nice horse. We should also mention that King of Pop won the Black Opal in Canberra yesterday, and we'll go into the slipper. Gerald Ryan, Sterling Alexiou, you know, it's unbeaten, so you've got to think about it in the mix as well. That's the two-year-old wrap.
What's the win of the day, Rich? For the den, your poll?
Here it is. So there we go. Yeah, Treasure the Moment. Makes sense. Yeah.
Yep. I'm all for that. You know what I'm all for? The Steward Speed Round.
Steward's Room Speed Round.
Yes. The Steward Speed Round, I've realised that name doesn't limit me to any particular time frame, as I've been saying the Steward's in 60, so I don't need to talk as quick as I punch through. In the Todman, as noted earlier, Tycoon Star approaching the 150 shifted out under pressure, requiring its rider to stop riding and straighten. Nepotism, which ran third at any odds, held up for clear running at the 350 until approaching the 200, denied a run by a shifting Woderton. Nepotism was then directed out around the heels of that runner, where it obtained clear running near the 150. I think that adds even more merit to that performance. In the Challenge Stakes, look, Shelby 66, lame. Danny Williams will make a call in that Group 1 winner's future. After a vet, it should be retired. And there's a lot of talk on social media that it should never have run in that race. Aliana in the Rand McGuinness began only fairly, bumped with Swift Falcon on several occasions, routing the home turn, became unbalanced. So excuses there. In the Canterbury Stakes, Airman Lame and Divisible Hematoma in its off shoulder. It'll need a vet clearance to trial all race. Steffi Magnetica Lame also needs a vet. She's an A-lister in the last, cardiac arrhythmia in the last of Randwick, which would explain that poor performance. And it cost me a 65-1 four-leg multi and a $1,300 odd collect for $20.
Nothing's easy, Rog. Nothing's easy.
Reprimands. Jamie got one for careless riding on another wheel, as we noted in our All-Star Mile chat. Well, we didn't notice that she got done for careless riding, but nearly fell. And
Pointed that out. I said she got in trouble from the steward.
I didn't. Yep. Well done, Rich. Stay out of steward's bin. This is my time to shine. So Don't Hope Do, EIPH in race 3, Young Werther in race 6, lame, another Will EIPH in the All-Star, Bonus Not Just Lame in race 9, and Miravale Rose, lame in race 10. And that is the Steward's Speed Round. Not so speedy, but we got the job done.
Cook cook the book.
It's time now to cook the book for another week and find out if the book actually did get cooked. Joining me, of course, is Kingsley Bartholomew from Wolf Den and Tom Hackett, the resident Rain Man from Ladbrokes. And Rain Man's pretty apt title for you at the moment, Tommy, because you've suffered through Cyclone Alfred or ex-tropical Cyclone Alfred. How's the den of yours holding up?
Yeah, the den is battling a little bit. Got a little bit of flooding in the corner, but thankfully it's away from my book. So we're okay. We had no power for 24 hours, which with a 4-year and a 3-year-old is no fun, but we're back in action. But it's pretty brutal up here. And obviously thoughts with everyone in Queensland. It has been impacted because it's been pretty full on.
I'm glad you said flooding and not the word you used on text that we'd have to put a content warning on this episode. Mr. Brightside, the most popular horse in the country, Tom, as we've said before. But was he your worst result in the All-Star Mile, given there was seemingly a lot of money come for another wheel and then, of course, neither of them won the race?
No, it's an interesting situation where Mr. Brightside was a losing result for us, but only a small losing result. But the worst result for us in the race was the winner, Tom Kidden, who ended up costing the book almost $450,000. It was a scenario where we took Tom Kidden on, and we were wrong. It doesn't happen too often where we do take a stand against a horse and it does backfire, but it hasn't in this instance. And Tom Kidden, a bad result for the book, which was basically the story of things at Flemington on Saturday.
Kings, seven horses in the All-Star Mile. You talk to most pundits, they thought, there were probably only four winning chances. One of them was Tom Kidden. Did you play?
I didn't in the end. No, I was against Tom Kidden. I thought Tom Kitt was unders. I was very close to backing another wheel and luckily didn't get involved on the punting side with another wheel who should have won the race. So, but no, I was against him. Tom Kitt was, there's a lot of money for Tom Kitt at the end. He came into about 480 and was really, really well backed.
There was a big go as well for Jolly Star in the new market. This often means the pros have stepped in. Was that a result for you? Were you one of those said pros?
No, I stayed out of the new market. I thought Jolly Star was the only horse that I could have been on. I looked at $5 and thought, oh, I'll get better than $5. And before I knew it, Jolly Star was absolutely truckloaded and came in as short as 340 in the end. That just avalanche of money just kept coming and coming for Jolly Star. And these straight races are really interesting. And finally, after about 30 years, I think I finally worked them out. Jolly Star had the best acceleration rating in the race, the best last 200 sectionals. And also, he's a very strong horse over 1,200 metres. So, to win the straight, and I said it last week when I tipped Elmore Zillow, you need to be very, very strong over 1,200 and you need that sprint. So if you took that race to Moonee Valley, for example, the Newmarket field, Growing Empire would come right into the race and Jolly Star would be a lot less chance. So moving forward, when you go into different tracks away from Flemington, just be aware of that as well and don't sack horses like Growing Empire.
You say you worked it out after 30 years. Would have been handy if done it before the race. Any price to win it though, Kings, although that's not exactly how the pros play it. What about Middle Earth? That was a big go as well. Were you part of that one?
No, I stayed out of that as well. I wasn't that active.
Did you have a bet on Saturday?
Yeah. Out wide I did. Yeah. But they're hard, these races. But someone's got the cash. And I said it last week. I think that bookies are going to be in for a hard period over this next 3 or 4 weeks with these horses coming through and they're starting to reach peak fitness. I think the punters are really going to start shooting straight.
Well, let's find out where the plunges we saw for Jolly Star and Middle Earth, Tom, were they reflected in the Ladbrokes book?
They certainly were. Jolly Star in particular. Jolly Star was a horse we tried to keep safe. We really did do everything possible to mitigate the damage there, but it did not work. It was one of the more sustained goes we've seen from a while. It was both pros and the recreational punter. Everyone just lined up on Jolly Star here. She's ended up costing the book $732,000. So one of the worst result we've seen of the calendar year to date. The worst result we've seen in an individual race since on Champions Day. So now punters got that one well and truly right. Middle Earth, not as dramatic a result, but still a losing result for the book. Was a horse that was well backed and was once again the worst result in that race, Middle Earth. So another horse that we did try to keep relatively safe. The bookies were quite keen on it. And so the damage was limited, but no, it was a host of races that we lost on at Flemington on Saturday, and a number of them were quite severe.
Up north, though, would I be right in assuming that Broadside and Getting Rolled in the Rand McGuinness and Royal Patronage surprising in the Canterbury Stakes meant fat results for Ladbrokes there.
Yeah, they're both pretty good results there. Broad signing wasn't as bad a result as I would have thought going into the races, only a small loser, but linebacker ended up being a winning result of just over $300,000. And then in the Canterbury with Royal Patronage really not found by a huge amount of punters was a good result there for the book. Most of the interest in that race was centered around Switzerland and Steffi Magnetica. Switzerland was going to be over $500,000 loser. Steffi Magnetica almost $400,000, while Royal Patronage ended up being a big winner for the book, over $550,000. So it was a bit of a tale of two cities on Saturday. Punters had a day out and a fill-up in Melbourne, while Sydney did prove a lot tougher for the punters.
Just interesting on Royal Patronage, and you've said it the same way I would have said it, and I did say it on the news on Saturday night. Darren Flindell went with patronage, but you're not a patron, you're a patron. So, Darren, lift your game. Tom, how did the book fare overall, Sydney-Melbourne?
As I just said, Roger, a huge day for the punters in Melbourne. And that was definitely more of a... They won more in Melbourne than we won in Sydney. So Sydney, we did finish in front, but the punters did get a little bit back with commemorative in the last, who was our second worst result in that race. So I think so far this autumn, the punters have definitely got us on a points decision. And at Flemington, they almost landed the knockout blow.
Well, you picked this, Kings. You must be pretty happy with how your brethren are doing. Have you got any early plays this week? I know it's Adelaide Cup Day, and I mean, the pressure's on Trelmitt to get this episode out because I know you're keen on one there.
I am keen on Kieran Maher, trained Golden State Warrior. I took $6 yesterday, Golden State Warrior. Down in the weight, slightly raced, ticks all the boxes in the Adelaide Cup. So I come across from the UK. Been here for about a year, and we see how they can peak after a year. It's over 3,200, I think, will suit down in the weights, as I said. So anything above $4, I think, is great odds.
I also took $6 when you text that through yesterday to the group. Any others ahead of this week?
No, I was just so impressed with another Will, the way he picked himself back up, and I'm excited to see him race again. But there's great racing coming up, and I think the obvious Via Sestina, but Via Sestina and another Willer, I think, are going to be the two stars of the autumn moving forward.
Yeah, exciting times to come as the focus shifts probably more to Sydney than it is in Melbourne. Cannot wait to get your insights next week on Cook the Book. Thanks again, gentlemen.
Sneak peek.
All right, this Saturday, Richard, it's, look, no Group 1 racing at Caulfield. It's Bobus Day, which is Victorian Owners and Breeders Incentive Scheme Day. I think it's free entry for owners, even if your horse isn't running. Peter Young, 1800, that's weight for age. Pride Jenny might go around, so that'll be the big interest. We talk about horses that cut through to the mainstream. Pride of Jenny is certainly one of those. We go to the Coolmore Classic up at Rose Hill. Amelia's Jewel, one of my favourite horses. And then you've got Lady Shenandoah and Lady Camelot, hopefully. So there's still plenty of interest this Saturday.
Yeah, and there's a couple more two-year-old races. Last one's before the Slipper. Bit of a quiet weekend, but that's okay.
Well, that's because, you know why? You know why, though? Because the horsepower is at Albert Park. It's Grand Prix weekend.
Of course. So, actually, I watched the first episode of Drive to Survive this morning, and I loved it. It's just brilliant television, isn't it? Brilliant editing, brilliant television. Have you watched it yet, Trill Mint, our editor? Not yet. Have you watched Drive to Survive yet, Rog?
I haven't. I've worked on the Formula One for Channel 10 as a broadcaster, just in a producing role. I'm not a Formula One head by any stretch, but it is a great event. Not as good as the Australian Open, but another great Melbourne sporting event. And of course, if I'm going to plug one of my employers, I might as well do it here. You can catch all the action live and exclusive on, not exclusive, but live on 10Play on the free-to-air channels. But we'll just be flicking between the races and the Formula Ones as they go around at Albert Park.
It'll be practice, right? It'll be practice on the Saturday.
Yes, it will be practice and qualifying. Be qualifying.
That'll be my Sunday afternoon, watching the races from Hong Kong and also watching the races on racing.com and watching the race from Albert Park.
And then your Monday morning is back here in the den for .com and the den Mondays. And we thank you all for tuning into another episode. Richard, I shall see you next week.
Adios.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.